Hey, Broker to Broker fans, join us in Irvine, California on March 5th for AIM Activate. It's a brand new interactive experience designed to enhance your marketing skills and grow your business. Come ready to attract, engage, and retain your audience with the help of industry experts and hands-on workshops. Head over to aimgroup.com and register today. Hey, welcome to Broker to Broker. This podcast is all about real talk from one broker to another. Each week, we'll be talking with an AIM member about their journey into the broker channel, their challenges, and unique insights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
We have speed.
We are good to go if we want to roll. You ready, dude?
I'm ready.
All right, cool. Born ready.
All right.
Welcome to Broker, brought to you by AIM, Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. I'm your host, JP Hussey of the Hussey Team Mortgage Advisors. And today we have Matt Gouget.
Yes, sir.
Answer Home Loans. Are you French?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. I haven't done 23andMe yet. We'll find out.
I always wanted to do one of them. I'm going to do one day. I'm kind of scared of what's going to come out because I really say that I'm an Irishman, but I know I have a lot more.
Yeah, you probably got.
I got all types of everything.
A bunch of pieces in there.
But, you know, you see the red beard and, you know, the height, and I'm a leprechaun.
I got a little bit red here.
No, I like that.
My boys, my 6 and 10-year-old, both redheads.
Yeah. All right. So you're from Sacramento.
Right.
Born and raised out there.
Born and raised in Sacramento.
And don't say Cali, right? If you say California, people from California do not say Cali. I'm learning that.
Yeah, but I'm not that sensitive.
All right.
But there's some sensitive folks out there where they might get upset. I'm not that
sensitive.
But
people do get upset over that. I'm just trying to learn.
Yeah.
Being an East Coast guy, you know, born and raised outside Philly. So, yeah.
If you're an East Coaster, you probably offend California folks pretty easily.
Yeah. But. I love it. Yeah, I know. That's a really good point. So Sacramento, 6 and 10-year-old.
Yes, sir.
Boys?
Both boys.
Yeah, I got 8, 5, and those are the boys.
Uh-huh.
And then a 2-year-old baby girl, Brooklyn, who is the alpha of the whole house.
Oh, yeah. She runs the show.
She has two different levels of screaming. It's the, no. And then you go, what? No. Like, it's a whole thing, but that's
you
a whole
heard me the
other,
first time.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Right.
We're going to get
done. We'll do the parenting podcast.
Yeah. We'll do that later. All right, cool. All right. So Answer Home Loans, right? How long have you been with them for?
I've been with them since May of 2018. So about a year and a half.
Good. Okay. And we spoke a little bit before this purposely. I didn't want to get too much info from you because I'd like to kind of go in this blank slate.
Right.
So give me a little bit about when you got into the industry.
Okay.
And I know a little bit about you. We're going to break it down, but I want to know like the first day or why'd you get in really?
Yeah. I mean, and I could do a shortened version of I got into the industry. I've always been a math nerd. I've always loved math.
Okay.
And I've always been a people person. So I feel like I was built for mortgage.
Well, you have to be a people person. You kind of have to know numbers, right?
Right. And okay. So like, I really feel that mortgage is something that I excel at and I enjoy and it fits my skill set. But before that, I kind of stumbled into the card room industry. So I was managing a poker room after I graduated from college.
So what year was this about? What'd you say?
2005. I graduated from college.
Okay.
Right. And I had already been working there. Management position opened up and it was fun. I was having a lot of fun and poker was booming. So the money was good.
Yeah, that was about the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like 2003, Moneymaker Effect. Mm-hmm. Everyone was playing poker and we had a little mom and pop poker room. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. And it was, you know, dealing with people, which I like people,
mm-hmm.
dealing with all kinds of different people. So I did that for the next 8 years. And then 2013, I decided, hey, you know, I'm not going to do this forever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get into something else and, you know, not a more serious job, but just a transition, something to do with my finance degree and something more long-term. So I went and worked for the state and I was doing finance.
And this is about the time, like you have young kids at this point.
Oh yeah.
So that has a strong effect of you saying, all right, I got to go.
Right, right. I'm not going to bring the kids into the card room where the guy's betting on sports, mm-hmm. smoking cigars,
I got you.
Drinking whiskey.
Okay.
It's not the environment I'm going to raise my boys in.
Yeah.
And that was definitely part of it. So I went to work for the state and I did finance for the state.
Okay.
And I do loans for a lot of state workers, state of California. My entrepreneurial spirit and just who I am, the state work wasn't for me.
Just couldn't, right.
Couldn't do it. And so around the time my second son was born, a buddy of mine said, hey, I'm getting back into mortgage. You'd be great at mortgage. You're good with people, good with numbers.
2013-ish, right?
Yeah, end of 13, beginning of 14.
Okay.
So it was perfect to go from stable state employment with benefits to 100%, 100% commission, only one earning money in the household, and just had my second kid.
Right. Well, it's been a constant on this show where you have to be, I keep saying, you have to be a little bit of a lunatic or a psychopath to be in this industry.
Right.
So like you were just saying,
exactly.
Let's just do the complete opposite.
Right. Yeah. Let's just jump off a cliff and be 100% commission.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And, you know, I think it was good in a way. And I think that a lot of times when people dabble in something and they have an out, it holds them back.
You gotta go all in.
I had to succeed. And so that was like early days. Matt, the mortgage guy, was working from morning to night, having a side job at night to subsidize my life while I was ramping up mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan, broker owner, Answer Home Loans, he remembers. I mean, I was sleeping underneath my desk. I was working so much that in order to survive throughout the day, I had to take a 30-minute power nap underneath my desk. And so from there to the success I'm seeing in 2019, it's kind of cool to look back and think about like, oh, I'm only 5 years removed from sleeping under my desk to get through a day and try to build a mortgage business.
I still sleep. And I mean, one reason that we decided to open up our own brokers this year, because I wanted my own office over there. Not that I didn't before, but I wanted a couch so I could sleep. I got the three kids. Like you need to, because this job, you know, you could wake up and start answering emails and you could work around the clock really.
Right.
Right. Right. All right. So you've been in the industry about 6 years, right? Loan officer at Answer Home Loans. I met Dan, right? Dan's the owner.
Broker owner.
Broker owner. Yeah. Great dude.
Yeah.
We got to meet. Okay. So getting in. All right. So this is a big change, getting in just into the mortgage industry. We're not even talking about the broker side yet.
Right.
But where were some struggles there? I know you just said 100% commission, you know, explain to your wife, this is what we're doing now.
And right. I mean, looking back and trying to think about different areas where, you know, struggles or pain points was just, I was never afraid to work. And I would get out there and work, you know, as hard as I had to and go out and shake hands, kiss babies, build relationships, all that stuff. But what I didn't realize is that when you're doing mortgages, it's the biggest transaction of somebody's life. It's not something they take lightly. And it's not something where you open up a smoothie shop and it's like, hey, I've got great smoothies. Come on in and buy one.
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest transaction of your life for most people. You can trust me with that.
Sure.
And so it took a lot of time and a lot of energy to get to the point where, one, I was confident enough in myself and trained up enough to really stand behind that, hey, I'm the best person for the job. And then, you know, the network and the people that I was talking to, for them to trust me. Okay, he's been in it. I see him close all these deals. I trust him with this big transaction.
It's huge. It's not selling a t-shirt or, like you said, a smoothie shop or whatever. This is real people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's tough when you get into the industry because you really don't know what the hell you're doing in the beginning.
Right.
Like you have good people behind you training you, but you don't, it's got to click.
Right.
And it's very tough to be out there and getting business when you just really don't know.
Yeah. Right? And that's the advice I give to newer LOs is have a little bit of patience and realize that, you know, no one's going to come out the gate and do 15, 20 loans there. Third month in the business. You have to ramp up and you have to be patient enough to know that, like, as you develop the relationships, as you develop the skills, as you do that, if you do it the right way, you're going to grow.
Yeah. And we tell newer LOs too, like, be honest. Like, if you don't know the answer, straight up say that.
Right.
And like, you still don't know all the exactly. answers. And you have to do that because you know, you have to build that trust.
And you said it. If you've got a good team behind you, you just tell people that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a great team behind me that's going to make sure that everything's smooth on your loan. And these folks have got 30 years in the industry or whatever it is. You know, nobody's on an island by themselves. Even loan officers that are in smaller shops, you know, you've got somebody behind you that's going to help you and second eyes on a file or whatever it is. So, you know, use that as you learn. And you always want to talk to the consumer and give them the confidence that you've got things handled.
Let's go into that a bit. Can you give us an idea of where you may finish up this year in terms of units or volume, however, an idea?
Yeah, I'll do about 140 units for about $45 million.
That's awesome, man.
And
good
that'll be my biggest year ever. It's cool. It's exciting.
Yeah,
time
and you've only been in the industry, like you said, 6 years.
Yeah,
like that's tough to do. I don't care. I mean, I don't care how long you've been in the industry, really. But that's really cool, man.
Thanks,
tell us a little bit, and let me step back. I like to ask units. Because when we're out here talking to everyone around the country, every area is different. Like I hate when I'm in a group or whatever and says, you know, what's pricing on this? You know, where's your pricing at to compare mine?
Right.
And it's like, well, it's different. Like it's very tough to to give right. a blanket
yeah.
answer.
And it's so you like serve units. X number of families versus yes. like, oh, I've done 80 million, but you work in Seattle and that's 40 loans.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's – yeah, exactly. I mean, it's cliche to say, but it's really about family, like the amount of families that you serve, however you put it. It's cliche, but it's that's the truth.
Right.
You know, all right. So about 140 units, you know, 45 mil in that range.
And am I looking here? Or am I looking here?
You can look wherever you want.
Okay.
You can turn around and look at that wall if you want. There's a great Kanye West. That's Casas. I no longer have a manager. I can't be managed. If we can get that on.
That's there. Awesome.
That's great. No, you, we're just having a convo.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about how you're, because you're a loan officer. This is great because I've spoken to a lot of different people here, owners of small brokerages like myself mm-hmm. or a loan officer or big ones. So this is good. Let's get down into your process, right?
Okay. And to touch on that real yeah. quick too, loan officer by design, things might change in the future, but I've talked cool. to a lot of people who say, hey, Matt, you're a smart guy. You can open up your own shop. I could help you do that. You know, and people that do that, good on them. For me right now, I enjoy originating. Mm-hmm. I want to focus on originating. And if I spent time, effort, and energy on compliance,
sure.
the other things that goes into being a broker owner, I wouldn't be able to go full yeah. on.
It's
into-
basically, it's your own business anyway. I've been saying that.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
you run your own type of business anyway.
Right.
Yeah, to give you an idea. So this right here, right? That's the you know, Hussy Team logo.
Huss Bus.
Yeah. I've only been in the broker side since we started making money in March of this year. Right. But I've had that since 2013. Mm-hmm. And I've always had my own brand logo, whatever you want to call it. But I wasn't ready to start. It just wasn't ready for yeah. it. And then eventually I said, all right, now I think it's time. Let's take a huge risk. And we did it. So,
right.
yeah. So not everyone's ready for it. We've touched on that before. Like if you're coming in, and we're going to touch on this because this is your thing, coming from retail to the broker side. Doesn't mean you have to go start your own brokerage.
Right. And there's even if you're just a loan originator, since 2014, Matt the Mortgage Guy has been the website, the branding, the caricature, what goes at the Little League sponsorship and all that. And like that's something, no matter what channel you're in, like you said, in sure. mortgage, you're 100% commission and you're running your own business for all intents and purposes. You have to brand yourself.
And that's cool that Answer Home Loans and Dan allow you to have your own brand within a company.
Right.
That was something that I got some flack over. Not really flack from the other companies I worked with, but they just didn't know how to handle it.
Right.
Because I had my own logo under a logo. Mm-hmm. So do you have a DBA or is it
yeah,
something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah. The legality of it is you've got to get approved through California BRE and
okay.
say, you know, doing business as Matt the Mortgage Guy. And then everything that I do has powered by Answer Home Loans.
All right,
it's got
cool.
their licensing information.
Because yeah, right. this is getting more and more where companies are allowing you to do this because we are our own little businesses, like you said.
Right.
So people are starting to do this. So for everyone out there that is scared or nervous about starting their own little brand within a company, these are some things you can do. And it's right. becoming a lot more acceptable.
And that's something that, you know, to touch on that too, I just had a conversation with some loan officers that UWM rolled something out. And it was... At first, the loan officer thought it was just branding Answer Home Loans. And UWM said, no, here's what you do. You go in, you log into Brand 360, and here's how you brand yourself. Because they understand, like anybody in the space understands, it's your business. People mm-hmm. like and trust you. They're doing business with you. And so, you know, if there's some value add for anybody that's going to listen to this and a broker is, you know, brand yourself first always,
mm-hmm.
I think. And maybe broker owners might disagree with that. But no. I think from a loan officer perspective, it's something you have to do because that's why people do business with you.
Yeah, but I think a lot more and more owners of companies are realizing that and they're allowing you to do it.
Right.
So that's why I want to make a point of obviously ask the owner and right. making sure it's good.
Different states are different
but
with how
whether
you
have yeah. a logo, like a brand's different from a logo in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Anyone can just have a logo, you know, like whatever. But if you don't have the values behind it, like you're Matt the Mortgage Man and
Matt the Mortgage Guy.
Guy, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Matt
and I've got to give my wife credit for that.
Yeah, yeah.
She thought of that, Matt the Mortgage Guy. And I had different things floating in my head about like something really serious, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, people just want a mortgage guy.
Right.
Matt the Mortgage Guy.
That's what they want. Nice and simple. Because in a complex industry, it needs to be simplified.
Right.
Right. All right. So let's get back to your actual setup, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're obviously the rainmaker mm-hmm. and the main LO, right? You're structuring deals,
right?
Right. For the most part.
Right.
Tell me who's on your team,
okay.
I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll go into that because it's cool over the last 18 months, it's evolved. And
cool.
as I came to the broker channel, I was super fortunate and just lucky to get partnered with Laura, who's, you know, production manager, loan officer assistant, whatever you want to title her. She's got all the skill sets that I don't have. Super organized, putting systems in place. She can handle all the mechanics of the loan because, you know, everyone's different. Mm-hmm. And there's the Todd Bidders of the world. The guy loves to do everything and touch everything. I don't necessarily want to do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or it's not your strength.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And I realize what I'm good at and what I'm not. So Laura handles the mechanics and contract to close. She's got it all handled. The communication is so seamless that nobody ever wonders what's going on. They don't need to talk to me and have questions because it's handled.
And someone else has handled it better than you could anyway.
Probably. Right. Okay. Right.
Oh, that's for sure. It's a tough transition in our industry.
And that's the thing too. A lot of loan officers will say, I don't want to, you know, not do this, or I don't want to do that. And they have a control thing. And I've seen my own evolution. I've seen it in tons of other loan officers.
I still have it, man.
You know, you pop into emails and I'm responding. Laura says, hey, I've got this handled. Why all of a sudden are you jumping in mid file when I'm on the email too? And I'm going to let the folks know, the appraisal's in at 336, you know, subject to or whatever it is. So I've got Laura, and then my processor, Dave, who processes for five or six loan officers, Answer Home Loans.
Cool.
Processes all the files. And then I've got a junior loan officer, Michelle, who also handles a lot of front end stuff.
Okay.
And so early on, you know, we talked and she didn't want to rely on her own production and she wanted some flexibility. And I have a ton of stuff team wise that she can work on. And so it's worked out really well where she doesn't have to focus on production. If it comes to her, you know, it's her deal, but for the most part, it's front end team stuff and it's following up with leads, getting folks pre-approved.
Okay.
And, you know, just a quick rundown on what it might look like. If somebody refers a deal to me, I'm going to have an initial conversation. Hey, it's great meeting you. Doug referred you.
Mm-hmm.
Looking to buy a house, the exploratory stuff and a 10-minute conversation around their wants, needs. And I can put notes into our pipe drive system.
Okay.
After the notes go in, it's a handoff that says, hey, Michelle's going to send you a link to our app with Flowify. The docs we need to get you pre-approved. Once you get you pre-approved, we're going to send you some scenarios and talk about some different options. And so after we've got an idea of what they're looking to do, we get them set up and Michelle's going to do all the follow-up, make sure all the docs get in. And once fully pre-approved, then I jump back in and I say, you know, congrats, we've got you pre-approved. I know you guys were trying to target a mortgage payment about $2,200 a month. Here's what that translates to purchase price-wise with 5% down. And, you know, consumers don't know what to ask. And so I try to lead them most of the time because I tell them, like, you know, the right thing to ask is not how much do I qualify for.
100%.
But I know that based on our finances, a $2,200 payment is comfortable. And say, okay, 5% down, this is the price point.
Out of pocket, the whole thing. You're finding them the price point, right?
Give them a really detailed, all the figures. And I tell them, you know, it's going to be really accurate. And you can look at it. If I buy at 400, if I buy at 425, if I buy at 450, what does that translate to mortgage payment wise? And so all those conversations go on, then connect them back with the realtor. Realtor's finding you something that matches the price point that you're targeting.
That's exactly what we try to do as well. Yep.
And then, you know, from there in contract to close, Laura is an absolute rock star and it's as seamless as can be. There's video updates, you know, there's a timeline. Clients know exactly what to expect. Realtors on both sides are getting updated. And every once in a while, I'll jump in. If appraisal comes in low, they have, you know, question on, you know, buying down the rate or things like that. But for the most part, that's handled.
Cool.
And then I've got a new hire that's coming in, and the new hire's main focus is going to be following up with leads, because leads for me isn't a problem. I enjoy talking at realtor groups, building relationships with realtors. And I feel like with this dialed in system, it sells itself. I feel like we're serving people at a higher level than most loan officers. So if I want to create more leads, go talk to more folks. And yeah,
it's the one, not problem, but the one thing we're always trying to work on is bringing in leads, but you're also an ethical dude. And from what I like, you have values. You can't have bad quality on the back end.
Right.
It's tough to handle volume and do it the way you want to do it because you're a local guy and reputation means something for you.
Oh, for sure.
You're not someone from the, you're not on the East Coast and you're selling to people in California where you have no, you know, you got skin in the game. Mm-hmm. There's no skin in the game, right? So you have to have good quality on the back end. So that's the challenge, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah,
it can be.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like an ever evolving process where it's like, mm-hmm. hey, we want to serve clients. And I was asked in an interview one time, you know, what keeps you up at night? What keeps me up at night is something hurting my reputation, getting so busy that people are like, oh, I love working with Matt, love working with Matt. And they keep sending. If we can't fulfill that on the back end and provide that, like, hey, get us your docs and your app within 24 hours, we're going to have you pre-approved. Mm-hmm. And that's why I hired the new full-time person ahead of growth. I would rather be overstaffed and have, you know, too much overhead, but keep the reputation intact. Because you talked about brand at Fuse. Ryan Serhan talked about brand.
Yeah.
It's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And along those same lines, I've got people on the team that align with how I do business. And the growth has been relatively fast, but steady. And it's because you treat people right. You do right by people. You tell certain people, hey, it might not be the time to buy. And here's why.
Power or no, man. It's more important than just saying yes, yes, yes.
And that's the thing too, is like people will get in touch with somebody and they'll call two or three loan officers till someone tells them yes. And I'll say, listen, you know, with a 580 credit score, with no money in the bank, currently at, I'd love to coach you in maybe 6 months, 9 months. There's going to be houses for sale in 2020 and in 2021. And you do that enough times over, I'm not worried about, I need the next deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got plenty of business and I always want more, but I don't want the wrong business.
That's a really good point. You want all the business coming in, but you don't want the wrong ones, and you don't want to just beating your head against the table, boom, boom, boom. But you also want to be able to coach the right people that come in for the future as well. You want to do the right thing. You're not just telling people no.
Good, honest advice. Some of it turns into business, some not.
Yeah, but you're doing the right thing, and then you can sleep at night.
Right, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we dive in a bit more, handling that volume, you had mentioned a couple already. Using PipeDrive?
Mm-hmm.
We used to use that. You love PipeDrive? It's very, you can customize that.
Oh, man. And Laura, the systems person, who's super detail-oriented.
Yeah.
She loves it. She's got it all dialed in.
Okay. So you're using PipeDrive, right? And then you said Flowify. Is that your front end as well? And then the document collecting?
Our application and doc collecting. And we just started doing that about a month ago. And this is the power of networking with other brokers, talking to other brokers.
Yeah.
We went to a mix and mingle. Guy from my office, who's relatively new, just told me, oh, I'm using Flowify. I go, oh, what's Flowify? He starts telling me about it. And like, oh, yeah, you can integrate it. And, you know, somebody fills out an app and it sends them docs that are needed. They just upload it directly to Flowify.
Mm-hmm.
And if they upload 4 out of 6, it sends them a reminder, hey, we still need the bank statements in the 2018 W-2. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
It's a good type of personalized automation.
Yeah. And this would be a game changer. This is the conversation I'm having 2 months ago for Michelle. Because Michelle on the front end, getting people pre-approved, anybody who handles any amount of leads understands that it's not just like, oh, hey, you're looking to get pre-approved and Doug sent you over and the next day you've got an app and docs. It's like a constant.
Well, everybody's different. Everyone's situation is specific to them.
Right.
That's the toughest part about this industry sometimes when you have some sort of values is taking the time to give someone a specific plan. Sometimes you need to get a lot upfront. I think that with these tools, it's really starting to help the loan officer get the right amount of information so that they can spend more time with the consumer.
Right. And that's the thing too, is sometimes people are like, well, gosh, you know, I talked to somebody a year ago and they told me I was good to buy up to 350 and I didn't provide them hardly anything. And it's like, to better serve you, we want to get it all. We want to vet everything. We want to get a verification of employment, know exactly how your employer is going to report your income so that there's no surprises. Because when we pre-approve 100%. Somebody, I tell the realtors and I tell the consumer the same thing. We're going to get you to the finish line. If nothing changes, if you don't quit your job and, you know, stop paying payments, we're going to get you to the finish line. And so, you know, that's something that's important to us. And it's part of the workflow. We're going to get a full file. We're going to have you fully pre-approved. Then when I call the list side, after you put in an offer and I tell them.
And you tell them.
We've got a full file. We're going to close this thing in 21 days. No problem.
Huge.
We're like, are you sure? Well, of course I'm sure. We've done this many times over and I'm not scrambling to get docs because I put together a half-assed pre-approval.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you say?
You can say whatever you want. Throw it out there.
Yeah. Take a deep breath. Start dropping F-bombs.
Yeah, I'm in, man. Let's go. Are you seeing that it's tough, especially with maybe a first-time home buyer, let's say, where it's tough to convey to them, like, listen, I need these things after someone just told them half-assed that they're pre-qualified.
Right.
Are you starting to see the consumer start to trust that more?
I think you're not losing too many. I think so. I mean, I think that me and my whole team come across as genuine. And I tell people, I say, hey, listen, it doesn't cost you anything. And we want to truly get you pre-approved and vet out any issues that might come up. And while it may seem like, you know, it's a lot of documentation, this is what we need to really
need
do
anyway,
the pre-approval. Yeah, we're going to need it when you get in the contract. And so, you know, folks, I haven't had a lot of pushback from that. You know, the only pushback you get is because of other folks in the industry that do it a certain way.
It's tough.
I mean, I just saw a meme today. It's just like, I got pre-approved last year and they didn't even need to pull my credit.
Yeah. Was it one of like the cat? You seen all those memes going around with the cat over here? And it's like, now you haven't seen it.
All right, either way. Yeah.
Either way.
There are all kinds of good stuff out there.
All right. Well, let's talk about what your strength is from what you're telling me. You're the rainmaker, right? You're kissing the babies. You're getting out there.
Yeah.
Can you, and I like to call this, by the way, I keep beating this like a dead horse, but I'm not calling marketing anymore. I'm calling it messaging. Because we're conveying a message.
Right.
It's not a billboard out there and it's just, here's what we do loans. You're giving a message,
right?
So what are you doing to get out there and bring the leads in? Like what are you, consumer direct? Is it dealing with real estate agents? Like what's your go-to right now? Can you elaborate?
I've answered this question in other places and I tell people halfway jokingly, it's a 47 prong approach because it really is. I mean, people will see a YouTube video, they'll see a LinkedIn post, they'll see a Facebook post, they'll see an Instagram post, they'll see me at a real estate event, they'll see me sponsoring the Little League, they'll see me, you know, involved with the kids' basketball team. And that's how you have to be, I feel, because the most important part for anybody who's trying to be that rainmaker, bring leads in the door, is brand recognition. And we've talked about how we compete with the Quickens and the Freedoms and other people that are sending mailers and spending billions on advertising. If you're not going to self-promote yourself, then who is?
Mm-hmm.
And really, I thought about a piece of content I want to put out to kind of answer the question to the consumer of, I'm not out there passionate about you should come work with me and my team because I need the next deal. I'm passionate about it because I feel like we do a good job and I feel like we're the best place for the consumer to get a loan. And I believe that. And when you believe it, you know,
got to believe it. People can sniff that out nowadays.
And that's the thing too, is people might say, oh, you know, it comes across as spammy or they're putting too much stuff out there. Believe in it. And I believe that if Freedom is going to send you 8 mailers and they're going to call you once a week and they're going to pound on your door for business.
It's a bullying move. Do you feel like it's like a almost a little bit?
Well, I mean, I understand it from a marketing perspective.
I get it.
You know, and I answer the call when they service a loan I personally own that rental property and I let the guy on the other end talk. And so I get some, it's market research for me.
Yeah.
And I tell the consumer when I talk to him, I go, hey, listen, if you talk to Freedom, you're talking to a guy who's sitting in a call center. The kid just, you know, his last job was Burger King.
They might be a good kid, but
he's a nice guy.
Right.
But you know, in high school, he worked at Burger King. Now he's done with high school and he's talking to you about a mortgage. The guy doesn't know anything. He's not a mortgage advisor. And that's something that we talk about.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, because we are at the very core, you got your financial advisor who advises on assets and we're your debt advisor.
Exactly.
And I'm advising you on that. I don't hardly ever feel like I'm selling. I'm just advising. And I mean, that's how the whole team speaks when we're speaking to consumers, realtor partners, anybody is we're just advisors. If it turns into business, great. We'd love to do business with you. I think we do a good job, but we're not selling, you know, it's not a, you know, boiler room.
No.
A lot of people look at mortgage brokers too, probably like the, you know, 05, 06, 07 mortgage broker fast
still
talking.
Still has a bad name to it. Broker sounds bad still.
Right.
That's why I like independent mortgage expert a little bit better.
And I mean, I want to give a little 30-second spiel on that too, because the consumer, to be a mortgage broker, you have to be, in most cases, a little bit more equipped and a little bit more, you know, knowledgeable and independent to go into the broker channel. So, you know, when they get knocked and then you've got direct lenders saying, we've got this or we got that. No, the mortgage broker is the, you know, more educated professional. In most scenarios. I'm not going to say everybody, because of course there's great people in retail and there's horrible ones and there's good brokers and there's bad ones. But in general, like that whole stigma around, you know, the broker's a fast talking car salesman, that's just not the case in 2019.
No, it's just not. It. Yeah. And we actually, I've talked about this before. What retail's thing, when they talk about brokers, they're what they say mm-hmm. in most cases, because I came from those type of sides and I didn't know any better. And I probably said the same thing.
I was saying it,
you know, because I started a Wells. Right. And then, you know, went to a couple correspondents, no fault to anybody there.
Right.
But they're saying we don't have control
mm-hmm.
where in fact we have more control.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you have, I mean, how many lenders are you guys using right now, would you say?
We're signed up with 40 and we're using five.
I was talking to Dan. Yeah. Right. You're primarily using the five.
Right.
And when you're getting in to this side of this channel, you really want to start small with a couple, right? Because reputation is so key.
Exactly.
Is that what you did when you got, and you're still doing it.
Right. Even. For sure. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I've got loans that don't fit at UWM. So I've got to take them to somewhere else. But you know this system really well and you're really good at it. And you know, I've had this conversation with people. I would rather make less or not do a loan at all than hurt my reputation.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like,
plenty.
Oh, this doesn't fit in UWM, or you've got to, you know, go borrow a paid comp. I'll do that all day long to protect my reputation.
Yeah, and you have to feel how those lenders are servicing at this part time of the year. I mean, we just had this refi boom that we're still kind of going through. So you had to be very careful with sending certain deals, depending on the specific situation for the client, over to this lender.
Right.
Because we knew they just want aggressive with
great
price.
Lender, great account executive. We're 17 days in initial underwrite. I'm sorry, I can't send you a deal right now.
We can't go there.
Because ultimately, it's my business and my reputation.
And that's the control that we have on this side, right?
Right. Right. And that's the big, one of the biggest things that people don't understand is I tell people, if underwriting's long and it takes a while to take a loan, or underwriting's just overstips or whatever it is, with that you have an issue with, as a broker, you send your business elsewhere. As a direct lender, your next five deals go to that same place.
Right.
You have no options. And so, you know, truly the best place for a consumer, and you know, we could
say that. And again, I mean, I know this is called broker to broker. Brokers mm-hmm. are better, mm-hmm. right? Some people get turned off by that. But it's really just trying to get us back into the game, because we truly are, we do. I mean, the facts are the facts, right?
Right. And
not everyone's best, like a broker might not be best for someone, because it does come back to, like, you are the loan officer.
Right.
It
exactly. And that's the thing too, is like, as a good retail person, you're better than a terrible broker from an advising standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I'll continue to say brokers are better, and I feel like it's the best channel for a person, I got plenty of friends in retail and plenty of folks that are great in, mm-hmm. in those other channels. So I'm not necessarily knocking them, and you know, people will call me and they want to do a loan with Bank of America. That's a whole nother conversation.
Well,
we
have most products for everything, but sometimes the jumbo world,
right,
we're not the best at right now, at least. Right. I mean, we have some good high bow type stuff with UWM and, you know, a jumbo buster, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, bank buster.
But Bank of America, if you could dive
if you've got half
that,
a million in assets, they're going to give you a better deal. They're going to take a loss on it. So, I mean, that's the thing too. And that comes back to being a high-level advisor.
Yeah.
Is I've told more people, you know what? Your credit union, that HELOC you're looking at, that's the best option for you. Well, I thought I'd call you maybe a refinance. I'm saying, hey, listen, if I'm telling you that's the best for you and it means on, I'm man. Not getting business,
right.
Rest assured it is.
Yeah.
But I'd rather give you good advice, and people are like, oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. If you have anyone that has mortgage questions, send them our way.
Yeah.
You've just help experienced anyway. That they're going to get good advice, even if it means me
you're
telling
profiting
you
or not.
Stick with Golden One for the home equity line of credit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the amount of how many times people have called me for home equity, and I'm like, listen, go over to this credit union. It's probably good to you bank. You know, we'll
right.
do the whole thing.
Right, yeah.
And tell me if you agree with this. I feel like the industry's starting to separate a bit, right, in a good way. I think at some point you're going to have the bigger banks, right, that have a lot of money, like we were saying, or like a Freedom, the bigger type companies where they're going to just start calling and mass mailers and everything. You're going to have that type of business, which mm-hmm. isn't going to go away. And it's tough for a smaller loan officer to compete with that and that type, right?
Right.
You have that. The middle range of lenders, maybe those correspondents, they might have some trouble because they have a lot of layers of management,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you have the local broker or local loan officer. I feel like these middle ones are going to have issues. I feel like we're going this way. Which
yeah.
is good.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're seeing the same thing?
Yeah, I think so. And that's the thing too, is no matter who else is out there, as a local independent,
that's the way it is.
You can thrive. And the cool part about being the small shop is, you know, you've got the power and the technology of $100 billion wholesale with UWM.
Yes.
So you're a two or three man shop, but you've got the technology of a $100 billion a year company.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like, you know, you're up against some retail bank that's got, you know, a marketing team and technology and all that stuff. And you're there on your own trying to create your own stuff. No, you've got all these relationships with these great wholesale lenders in the mm-hmm. broker world, and you're leveraging that to bring more value. And, you know, to get back to what you said about, you know, the fear mongering on the retail side, it's like, oh, hey, we've got, you know, all these great teams and all these processes in place, and you can speak directly with your underwriter. I mean, I was speaking that stuff 2 years ago where I said, oh yeah, you got that, you know, quote from that broker, and sure, it was a lower price, but you don't even know if that thing's even going to close. I mean, you know, working with me, the direct lender, I'm going to be able to, you know, talk to the underwriters, make sure this thing closes quick. Now on the other side, I understand.
Yeah. But again, it still comes down to the loan officer, because I'm sure there's bad brokers out there that are like, oh, we're just going to get you the lowest price. We're going to throw it in there. We're going to throw it at this lender who's on 20-day turn times, but not saying that. And you have to close in 25 days.
Right.
Like, it really does come down to that.
Right.
And I'm lobbying for kind of us right now, because we're the local, smaller type loan officer shop, whatever you want to call it.
And somebody who really cares about the consumer, cares about their reputation. And that's the thing. When I talk to somebody, they say, oh, I talked to so-and-so, and Google that person. If you can't find their name, like, what is their incentive to do right by you? And I tell them, I say, hey, listen, look on Google, look on Facebook, look on Yelp, wherever you can find online reviews, all positive. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be the first person I screw up on to ruin that reputation.
Yeah.
And it's the truth. It's the truth, because I rely on referrals. I rely on the good reputation. I've only got one reputation. I can't screw it up. And so, you know, to the point where, you know, if there's other things in my business I'm concerned about, that's the most concerning thing.
Yeah.
Is keeping the reputation.
It has to be.
And so all the advising I do, all the interaction with referral partners and with consumers, it's all with that as the overarching theme. Do right by folks, mm-hmm. protect the reputation.
So if we get back to like marketing or messaging, what I'm trying to continue to call it, right? You do a lot of things I did. Like my name's on every single basketball team. Like, I sponsored every time. It's on the back, or I got the banner. You do all those things, and you're just getting referrals from, like, you're just getting hit from everywhere, right? Are you focusing in more on the real estate side too? Do you have, I'm sure you obviously have your partners. But could you get into more detail if you're like, hey, I want to go meet with this partner, or how are you finding like direct referral partners?
Right. So I mean, I'm in.
Or are you not? Like, you know?
I definitely am. And it's, you know, a lot of it, you know, happens organically over time.
Okay,
and this person
same.
Refers this person. And what I've started to do, and probably a good takeaway for anyone who's starting out trying to build business, is if you've got a great referral partner, let's just say it's a realtor. And, you know, you and Tony have done 14 deals together. Mm-hmm. It's gone smooth. You communicate well, and everything you do to make sure that he's happy and you're adding value to that realtor's business. Hey, Tony, who else do you have, you know, that you can refer me to? And then Tony has so-and-so in their office. And then they, you know, realtors talk just like anybody else.
It comes down to doing a good job. The quality's got to be there before you can even have the balls to ask for that.
Yeah. And somebody's crying about, like, gosh, it's on day 38. We've had to extend this thing 8 days and yada, yada, yada. And then Tony says, hey,
what are you doing?
Matt, the mortgage guy closes loans in 21 days.
Yeah.
Call him. They call, hey, Tony referred me. And then, you know, if nothing else, as a loan officer, if you just took your good realtor relationships and asked them to introduce you to one more person, you know.
Such a simple step. And I don't do that
a lot
of
times. And that's the thing too, is a lot of these things, they're not that hard to do. You just have to do them. You have to take action. And, you know, back to your question, you know, it's the local realtors, and I'll go to realtor meetings and I'll just be around folks. And I think what I've started to do lately, as my business has grown, we've gotten busier, is be kind of selective. And I recently spoke at a realtor event last week. Realtors, mortgage folks, we're just doing like a mastermind, talking out loud. And one of the realtors brought up a point about, hey, I interview the lender. I see if, you know, they're a good fit. And I said, that's exactly what you should do.
100%.
And, you know, I'm not everyone's flavor. And I tell realtors that, and I say, hey, let's meet and let's see if we align.
They might not be good for you either.
For sure. Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, you know what? But you find someone you align with. And as a mortgage broker, all you do is you add value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the realtor knows that when they send a deal your way, you know, it's connected to them. We're following up. As soon as they're pre-approved, then it gets handed back to them, fully pre-approved. We're talking good about that realtor, building them up to the client. And you know, if you did nothing else but that, that's a value add. You know, people want to hold open houses, create flyers, you know, do other co-marketing stuff with agents. It's nice, but you know, there's other ways to add value. And, I mean, and that's the, that's how easy the business is. If you just want to look at it in like simple terms, add value to people, and it works with realtors,
really
works with CPAs, works with financial advisors, works with everybody.
Are you dealing with a lot of the financial advisors, that the asset side, like we were talking about, your debt advisor, their asset advisors? I mean, they, I have a couple buddies and we do business together.
Yeah.
It's not as much as I'd love to do on the financial side. Because it sounds so sexy. Like, dude, I'm the debt advisor.
Yeah.
You're the asset advisor.
Let's get together and advise.
Right. Yeah. Are you dealing with a lot of them as well?
Yeah.
Or have you found the same struggles sometimes because they're protective of their clients as they should be.
I wouldn't say a lot.
I'm not saying it's wrong. But.
Right. But I think, you know, slowly but surely more and more of them, because you're entering it as a partnership. Yeah. I want to add value to you, because just like when somebody refers me somebody, I say, hey, that's not something that I personally handle, but I can connect you to a construction lender. I can connect you to commercial lender. Mm-hmm. I can connect you to somebody who can do home equity lines of credit. The financial advisor, if they're good, should have their connected people. And, you know, it was interesting. I recently sat in an office of a UBS financial advisor and a seasoned guy, been doing business for a long time. Our conversation was, hey, I referred a couple people to UBS Mortgage because they do mortgage as well. They had terrible experience. I'll never, ever send another person to UBS Mortgage. I'd love to refer them to you. And, you know, that opened up, introduced me to some other folks in your office. Because if they've got, and it's a true value add, because as an advisor, when somebody says, hey, you know, I was thinking maybe I refinance this to a 15-year, as an advisor, what are you going to say? Like, good luck?
Yeah.
Or you're going to say, I've got a great guy that I know is going to give you good advice. And, you know, you do that enough times where they refer somebody and then you give such good advice that it makes them look good. That's what I think has helped me more than anything build business, is my financial advisor, who's in one of my morning, like LATIP networking groups.
Yeah.
Sent me somebody, and that was the person that I said, as she's talking, and here's our scenario, here's what we want to do. We're thinking about a home equity line, don't know if it's right. And I, you know, spent 15 minutes going over pros and cons, and it ultimately sounds like the home equity line's the best deal for you.
You could have maybe tried to sell a cash out refi or something.
Yeah, I mean, she was asking about it, but I just said, if I was you, and that's my advising, if I was you, home equity line of credit's your best bet. And based on what you're telling me, those terms sound good. I'd go there. You know, you've done business with them, you like them, stick with that. She texts the financial advisor, thanks for connecting with Matt. He was rad. And
it's the little things, man.
Forever, he's going to refer folks to me because I made him look good. And it's the same thing with the realtor. I mean, that when I'm in front of realtor groups and I'm talking, I say, listen, you know, the client, if they have a bad mortgage experience, no matter how good you do as a realtor, is less likely to refer you. Mm-hmm. Don't you want
the team?
Yeah.
Let's true team.
Title, mortgage, real estate. Let's do a great job. We're all going to get more referrals.
And I say I hate there's a hierarchy sometimes with real estate, mortgage, and title. I'm like, dude, everyone's got to be equal here.
Right.
No one's got to be an asshole to each other.
Let's play nice with everybody.
I do too. You have to. Because it's ultimately about the consumer. And it's ultimately about us getting referrals from that consumer that had a good experience. Like it's.
Right. You do a great job, and the list side still wants to yell at you. I got to give credit to my wife. She's taught me empathy.
Okay.
You know, that realtor must be going through something.
Yeah. Well, let's get to that then. Let's talk about, we're in the same type of boat.
I thought you're on a bus.
We're
on the same bus.
I'm going to be careful with my words here.
Okay.
But you had said, sole income. Right? Mm-hmm. Same with our structure. Yeah. We just have one extra
kid. She's doing all the hard work, keeping the Gouge Casa running with all the kiddos.
Right,
All the hard work.
Right.
I'm just out here making it rain, shaking hands, kissing babies.
Yeah, we're trying to do that. Yeah, that's more important, 100%. Right. I've said that plenty of times. But how's that, the work-life balance? Like, how are you managing that right now? It's tough for me. It's tough. I mean, if anyone says, this is easy, they're lying.
For sure.
It's hard, right? For sure. So, and you're the rainmaker. You're getting hit from all angles. People are like, go to Matt, the mortgage guy. Like, you're getting slammed, right?
Right.
So how are you managing that right now? Do you shut it off? Like, it's tough, man.
I mean, and that's the thing, too, is just like anything. It's ever evolving, ever changing, and it's constantly a struggle. Like you said, if I said I was good at it, or if I said it was easy, I'd be lying, just like most folks. You have to have a partner, if you're going to do this at a high level, who's super understanding. And bless my wife for, mm-hmm. for being as understanding as she is. She understands, might have to take a call here, call there. I've actually actively through coaching, which was, you know, mortgage coaching, investment coaching, life coach, all of it in one is like family's number one. And so I want to be coached on the family stuff, then the mortgage business stuff, then the investing stuff. And, you know, if I find some time, I take care of my health, work out.
That's what you came up with, or is that from the coaching kind of?
Been an evolution.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, what are your four important things? And what order do you want to place them in? And so, you know,
And they could move around.
Yeah. The faster answer is I've got like set in stone stuff. Like on Tuesday, Thursday, I'm coming home at 3:30. I'm taking the boys to jiu-jitsu. I'm not going to miss a jiu-jitsu practice. On Saturday morning, we're doing that. When baseball season is here, I'm making sure I go to practices and make mm-hmm. sure I go to games. And like I said, like hiring head of growth and having more people than I need, that in place is more important to me than I could work another 20 hours, not hire this person and make a little bit more. Because ultimately, like if you're unbalanced and the family life isn't there, then you nothing know, what are you matters. Doing for? You know, and so I've, you have to focus on it and you have to prioritize it. And I think I've done good at it, not perfect, still a work in progress, but there's just like the family's the number one thing. And, you know, the wife's super understanding. So, you know, you take a couple calls on Saturday, you pop on the computer for an hour and you do that. But you also say, you know, my phone is off on silent in my pocket and we go to the pumpkin patch. You know, and this, I'm not available this time because it's the kids' jujitsu or mm-hmm. or something else that you're doing family time.
Are you using your calendar a lot to schedule things more and more?
For
I
sure.
mean, I like almost down to like if you tell a client, like you said, you're what's your wife's first name again?
Katrina.
I don't want to just call her wife.
Yeah.
So
Katrina,
wife.
She's
Katrina.
She's the one to thank for all this.
If obviously she's cool, you have to take a call. You get it. That's our life.
Right.
I'm really trying to schedule because our time is like we're running like crazy. Scheduling that
family
call,
stuff.
The family stuff, correct. Yeah. And then if you have to put a call in there, uh-huh. like everything, like trying to live your life almost to the calendar. Like, have you done that? Or
yeah,
it's tough to do.
And I think sometimes I'm more heavy into super calendar than other mm-hmm. it constantly changes. And that's why yeah. like, you know, it's so cool to get around people and talk through some of this stuff because nobody has the secret formula.
No.
And my formula that worked in 2018, I had to, you know, reconfigure it for 2019.
Constantly evolving.
And the coaching calls are just like, hey, listen, we're going to switch it up. You know, I haven't worked out in 6 weeks and I'm feeling crummy. Like,
yeah.
Let's go family, health, and business.
Yeah.
Then, you know, because.
But like you said, family is always, I mean, I got it circled right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be.
Right. I mean, because at the end of the day, if my mortgage business crumbled and everything fell apart,
yeah.
you know. If I've still got my family, I'm still winning.
You're good.
You know, the good news is if you work on it and focus on it, I feel like you can have it all. And mm-hmm. and I've grown the mortgage business and, you know, the great year we're having this year, the family life hasn't suffered.
Awesome,
I feel
dude.
Like, you know, it's just a matter of getting real intentional. And one
for
thing
you.
About that is being super intentional with your time. And what I've learned from coaches and what I've learned from other people in the industry that are super busy is, you know, sometimes you got to say no.
Yeah.
And probably
it's tough. It's tough to do in our industry where we're made to go, go, go and get them in,
right.
get them in.
And, I mean, and you build a super structured, organized business with processes and it gives you more time because, you know,
spend the time on processes. So you have more time later.
Yeah. Right, I mean, right. yeah.
It's hard though.
That's super important. Somebody was talking about, you know, training somebody up or implement a new system. And somebody put it to like a math nerd like me in really simple terms. It made sense to me. It's like, listen, it's going to take you 40 hours to do this, but if it saves you 2 hours mm-hmm. a week forever, it's worth it. And you think about it like, wow, it's going to save me 100 hours a year. I got to invest 40 hours sometime in the next month, mm-hmm. implement this new system. It saves me 100 hours per year I can do on other stuff, whether that's family stuff or, mm-hmm. you know, other business that's going to bring in more business, whatever it is. Like that's what putting systems in place does for you.
Yeah. And putting in the work short term for the long term. Everyone I've sat here with has a long-term plan. They think in long-term. They're not just worried about here's the next deal.
Right, right. And that's why I'm hiring ahead. You know, I've
well, yeah, you've mentioned that already.
The game great. Plan too, everybody knows it. Everybody who's on the team and around me is it's like $45 million this year, $65 million next year, and $100 million in 2021. I'm putting things in place and I'm planning right now for the $100 million team and what that looks like. And I've got to be able to handle the income. And like we mm-hmm. talked about earlier, I can't – You can't let the reputation suffer.
No.
You got to be able to handle the amount of leads it takes to take the amount of apps
yep.
to turn into, you know, the 300 deals and the $100 million a year.
100%. That's great. All right. Well, we have about 10 minutes left.
All right. This is so much fun. We can go here for hours.
I know, dude. I mean, 45 minutes really isn't enough sometimes. All right. So two ending questions here. Number one, before we stepped in here, you were saying you're almost like an advocate for the transition from retail to broker.
Right. The poster child.
The poster child. Right. Can you give a one thing or two or whatever you want about transitioning, like something to get someone started that wants to do that?
I mean, for me as a loan officer, where I'm not opening up my own shop, I'm just transitioning from loan officer.
Let's talk that. Yep.
Retail side to broker side.
Mm-hmm.
All the fears I had about not having control and I won't have the support and all that, you know, being on the other side of that, it's all dissipated. Okay. And I think to myself, well, gosh, you know, the transparency with how these lenders operate and, you know, direct contact with underwriters at some of the lenders and other things in place that are making it so we're closing loans faster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're easier to work with because, you know, the lenders just, I worked for a great lender, great direct lender, great company, great people, might've been a little bit conservative,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the people I'm working with now, just, you know, the way they do loans, it's an easier process on the consumer. And so, you know, that was a big thing for me is I knew I was protecting my reputation and I got into kind of a groove where I felt like, okay, I'm serving people and, mm-hmm. and I've got this down. It was really scary for me. And I think people who are doing it with good intentions, they don't want to make the jump because they feel like something's going to suffer. I'm not going to be able to serve clients as well.
Right.
Where, you know, now I'm realizing as I started to look at the broker channel and say, well, gosh, you know, better pricing, less fees. Like there might be something to this broker side.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm on the other side. Like not only all that, but also better service.
But better service.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
So maybe even speak to a couple different LOs in the broker channel. Maybe they're probably going to hear the same things you're saying. It just takes some time to chip away at it because you just don't know. We both came from that other.
Right.
You just don't know.
And it's like, you know, you got to learn it. You got to actually experience it to understand it mm-hmm. and learn it. And, you know, some of the presentations I do in realtor offices where I tell them, you know, here's some of the advantages of being a broker. The cool part about being a broker too is, you know, a deal might be structured in a certain way or you've got rental income on a house mm-hmm. that this lender doesn't necessarily view the same way as this lender.
Yep.
Well, you've got the options now as a broker.
Mm-hmm.
You go to your AE and say, hey, you know, this guy bought this property in July of 2018 and rehabbed it and doesn't have any rent to show until 19. Are you going to let us use rental income on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no, it's going here. You know, as a direct lender, you get a no and it's game over. Refer it out or just say, sorry, I can't do business.
Plenty I've referred out. Just go. We could have an option.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, among many things, you know, one of the advantages of being a broker.
Cool. All right. Last question. One or two things just for anyone brand new getting into the industry. Mm-hmm. You remember 2013 when you got in?
Sleeping under the desk.
Yeah, sleeping on, right. Surface level stuff, if you want. Like one or two things to think about if you're just getting into the industry.
I think if I was to give myself advice is to have patience, you know, to think about the year I'm having right now, I would never imagined mm-hmm. 140 units, 45 million. And, you know, that's only 5 years in. 5 years isn't that long. But when your first month, you know, struggling to get that first deal, it might seem like, you know, decades
away.
It takes
time. Yeah.
It takes time, but the way I've done it and the way I've seen a lot of people who are similar to me do it is it's gradual growth and it's doing right by people. And just, you know, if your main objective is to serve people at the highest level and just give good advice, you'll win. You know, it's that partner with hard work. I mean, where people struggle and I see loan officers like, oh, it's great money to be made and it's this and that and the other, but then they show up in flip-flops at 10:30 and then they go out to lunch and then they just go straight from lunch to home and they're done.
That's
3 hours a day. I'm like, oh, I did two loans this month.
It's hard work. You got to put in the work.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things where there's not instant gratification. You're planting seeds for the next 90 days for Q1 of 2020, Q2. And so, you know, oh, I've got four or five deals and you know, you put the brakes on and then the next month you have zero. I mean, and that's, I have plenty of loan officer friends and I see it, you know, five deals, then one,
mm-hmm.
six deals, then two. And you can get caught in the, you know, things are good. I don't have to work, but take it seriously. Work hard all the time. Do the right stuff that you know. And that's the thing that I feel like has been contributor to my success more than anything else is doing a bunch of long-term stuff that I knew was going to pay off in the long term that I couldn't see, you know, I couldn't eat the fruit year one and year two, but I'm doing right by this person, that person, creating this relationship, building this bond. And now 5 years into it, you know, great reputation, great relationships, and it's all coming together. It's really exciting stuff.
Nice, man. Well, I'm happy for you. And thanks for coming by. This was Matt Gougier, Answer Home Loans, Sacramento, California.
Yes, sir.
Thanks,
good talking to you, man.
Thanks, man.
Brother.
Yep. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss a single episode. Head over to aimgroup.com/broker-to-broker and subscribe on any platform where you listen to podcasts.